How many know this is important in this day and age? I won't take the time, but when you look at the statistics of young people in prison and the statistics of young people hooked on drugs, it's something like 60, 70% of them were raised without fathers. We need our dads, and we need our moms. We need the family. Is it any wonder that the devil is trying to destroy marriage, the institution of marriage, and trying to destroy the institution of the family? It's literally the first thing God established. And it's the thing the devil knows if he can destroy it. But God said, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to come and strike the earth with a curse. It's time to take it seriously. We need to stand up for what's right in these last days. So he's going to send the spirit of Elijah in the last days. Some people even say it's actually going to be Elijah coming back. I don't know. But I do know this, the spirit of Elijah is coming. And we can learn a lot because the spirit of Elijah has been here before at the first coming of Jesus. John the Baptist came in the power and presence of Elijah. He was the one, it's literally said of him, that he came to prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah. So we can learn a lot by looking at his life and looking at Elijah's to understand what may happen in these last days. One thing about John the Baptist and Elijah, I'm going to give you several things here. Number one, these guys were what I call mountain men. How many watch the show Mountain Men? Isn't that a great show? I tell you. I've watched every one of them. And glad I'm not one of them. Mountain men are these guys, and well, in today, back in the old West days, they were the first ones out there who found the trails, who found the pathways, who blazed a trail. And then the pioneers would come along and expand it and settle things. And then what's next? The settlers would come, and they would build churches and homes and schools and communities. But before you could do any of that, you had to have the mountain men. And they were guys that they weren't really social people. They weren't the kind of guys you'd invite over for dinner. They were rough. They were gruff. They were loners. They were out there opening up new territory. The Bible said that John the Baptist was dressed in sackcloth. Today, the closest thing we could find is maybe burlap. But it was actually worse than burlap. It was really goat hair. And it would itch. And it would be very uncomfortable. In fact, many times you would break out in skin rashes and so forth because it was so rough and harsh. And Elijah and John the Baptist lived in that. And sometimes people would put on the goat hair outfit because they were in mourning or they were in a period of repentance. And for a day or two or three, they would wear this. And it's kind of like fasting. When you fast and you get hungry, the first thing you think about, I need something to eat. And then you remember, no, this is for Jesus. This is for God. I'm doing this for a purpose. And that's why fasting will accelerate your spiritual experience. It will accelerate your move towards God. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? So that's why they would wear this, to constantly remind them that it's not about our comfort. It's about the mission that God has put us on. These are mountain men. Number two, we need to understand that they came with powerful prophetic gifts. Listen to what it says about John the Baptist. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Can you imagine having a baby that got full of the Holy Ghost while he was in you? What in the world's happening here? It's not like, don't just feel it kick. Feel him doing somersaults in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if he spoke in tongues in the womb, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of who? Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready, say ready, a people prepared for the Lord. We sang the song. He came, he will come to prepare a way of the Lord, to get us ready for what's about to happen. Not to get the world ready, but to get the church ready. And I believe the church needs to get ready. We've been playing church, but God is saying, it's time. It hadn't done this in a long time. I wasn't even jumping that much, was I? I just didn't want 911 to respond. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Preparing a way. A way. Thirdly, he came, they preached repentance. We don't hear a lot of that anymore. There's too much. I'm not against how-to preaching. You know? How to live a better life, how to be happy, how to, all the how-to messages, they're okay. You got to do that sometimes. But if that's all you do, I don't think you're preaching the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God, because you really can't do anything until you repent. You can't do any of this until you change your ways. And there's too many preachers that are not willing to preach repentance. Nobody likes it, especially in this day and age. But this is going to be the spirit of Elijah to the church. It's time to repent. Whew. You know, they killed John the Baptist. And it wasn't the Romans. It was the church folk that killed John the Baptist, because they didn't want to repent. Whatever they had going on, they wanted to keep it going on. Whatever evil they were doing, they wanted to keep hidden. But it was the religious leaders that killed John the Baptist. By the way, John the Baptist was a much bigger deal than we give it credit. Archaeologists and historians are now beginning to discover just how huge this was. And there were literally tens of thousands of people that would leave the city and walk for 2 or 3 hours into the wilderness. John said, I'm going to preach if there's nobody here. He didn't go to the town square. He was in the wilderness. What a mountain man. And he just began to preach. And they came by the thousands. Really ticked off the religious folk when the church was empty on Saturday. Ooh. Yeah. And he's down by the River Jordan out in the wilderness. And I know we have this picture of John just baptizing one after the other. There were too many for that. And we now know that his disciples were also baptizing. In fact, we now know that people would just run into the Jordan, hundreds would just run into the Jordan and baptize themselves. There's just too many of them. tens of thousands. And someone said, we need to deal with this. Listen, the world has a saying right now, we need to deal with this church. Hello, Charlie Kirk. We need to shut this down. We need to quiet the voice. But how many know the more they persecute us, the stronger we get, the louder we get, the more results we see. Amen. Let it come on. It'll separate the men from the boys in the spirit. Come on. There's too many in the church. Too many in the church. I would die for Jesus. But if it rains, I can't come to church. There's too much. There are too many shallow Christians in the church today. Christians in name only. Come on. And if persecution comes, the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away in the last day. Yeah. But the Bible also says there's going to be a great revival. And those that are real, do I have any real Christians here today? Those that are real are going to experience a move of God and a revival like we've never seen before. Ah! And the shallow folk will just move on to other things where their heart was anyway. Number four, both of them confronted political leaders. The powers that be. It's not just preaching to the crowds. Well, John the Baptist confronted the king who was sleeping with, anyway. there's a story. And he said, you're sinning. Wow. Can you imagine? In this day and age, you're living in sin. Well, that got him killed. We need to confront the powers of hell. Make a stand, church. Stand against the wicked ones. And finally this. Good Lord, we're going to get out of here early. I like this. Not so much. John the Baptist lost his head, but Elijah went off in a chariot, right? How many love old westerns? Hey, amen. I watch those old shows. Those are so good. Then I think about all the. I wonder how many people the Cartwrights killed. If you start adding them up, they were a murdering bunch. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, one thing we see in all the cowboy movies, there's this kind of a theme at the end where he rides off into the sunset. Right? How many movies end with, there he goes. And the message is, after a long fought battle, you get to ride into the sunset. Amen. And your life is full of peace and quiet for the rest of your life. I don't know, it sounds like they're going to die to me. Why didn't they ride off into the sunrise? Does that make more sense? But Elijah started that. He rode off into the sunset. Oh, y'all don't get it. All right. He was in a chariot. Rode off into the sunset. Now three people get it. Okay. Lord, they're slow, but I'll wait on them. So he rides off into the sunset. In other words, they end well. They end well. Whew. Listen. They had such power. Luke, did I read Luke chapter 1? Yes, I did. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 2, I'm sorry. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, this is Elijah and Elisha, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And remember, he asked Elijah for a double portion. It's kind of interesting that Elijah had 8 recorded miracles in the Bible, and Elisha had 16 recorded miracles. He got a double portion. He got a double portion. Just a little tidbit I thought I'd throw out there. But some people believe that in the last days, how many know there's going to be 2 witnesses coming? The 2 witnesses. And nobody knows exactly who they are. They might just be nobodies. But a lot of people believe one of them could be Elijah. Because Elijah never died. And the other one could be Enoch. Because Enoch never died. Others think maybe it's Moses. Because God buried Moses in a secret place. And he appeared to Moses. So maybe there's that. I don't know who the 2 witnesses are, but probably Elijah is one of them. And look what happens here. Revelation 11:3, I will give power to my 2 witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. They're not going to be comfortable. They're not staying at the Holiday Inn. Amen. They're not Marriott folks. Amen. I tell people Gloria's idea of an excursion is her idea of an outdoor trip is walking to the mailbox. I mean, that's it. If we're camping, it's in a Marriott. Amen. But these guys are going to be living in sackcloth that I described to you. I do want to read what it's going to look like. These 2 have power to shut heaven, that no rain falls. Isn't that what happened with Elijah? In the days of their prophecy, they have power over waters to turn them to blood. That's why some people think it's Moses. To strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Wow. Here's a plague for you. Here's a plague. Here's a plague. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the people's tribes and tongues and nations will see their dead bodies, television, 3.5 days, and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. Kind of sounds like some people when Charlie Kirk died. Because these 2 prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. How many believe that'll be televised? Hello. And great fear fell on those who saw them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them because it was televised. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. Wow, what a day that will be. Woo. Come on. I don't know exactly what those days will look like. I don't know exactly when some people they believe the rapture is before the tribulation. Some think it's midway during the tribulation. Some think it's after the tribulation when the Lord comes back. I don't care. I've said this a million times. Whenever the rapture is, I'm going with the first bus. Some of you got tickets to the second and third. That's fine. But whenever he takes them, I'm going. If y'all don't want to go, one of you can be pastor. I'm fine with that. You can even have my salary. I'm gone. Take my house. Come on. But I'm going. I'm going. Huh? Anybody else ready to go? You need to do rapture practice. Glad my belt's on tight. Amen. Hate it when that happens. What a day that will be. Whew. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 makes it very clear. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. One of my favorite scriptures. Oh, there's more. Okay. Lord, y'all are really slow today. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Lord, how many gravesides have I been at? Knowing they're not there forever. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. Comfort, Maranatha, with these words. What a day, there it is, that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he'll take me by the hand, that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it one more time. Woo, sounds better now. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Let's all stand. What a day,
glorious day.
Sing it one more time.
That will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus
I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one
who saved me by his grace, as he takes
me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day,
glorious day.
Listen. I say this now, I guess every funeral that I do, that the moment you die, you might have been unconscious for hours, weeks, months. You don't remember any of that. All you remember is the last thing you remember And then I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Because when you open your eyes, you don't know where you've been or what happened, but when you open your eyes, there's the face of Jesus. Preacher, how do you know that? Well, when he made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils. I'm not going to embarrass you, Larry, but you got to get awful close, which I'm not going to do, to breathe into your nostrils. Adam never existed before that, but he opened his eyes, and there was the face of Jesus. Woo! I don't believe St. Peter meets you at the gate. I love old St. Pete, but I don't believe God delegates that kind of thing. He paid too high a price. When I die, he'll meet me at the gates. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo! What a day, glorious day that will be. Think about it. What a day.
Oh, what a day.